time for Off the Wall. Yes, I know I'm being tested. I've said many times on these airwaves and on other airwaves and outside in the street, I've said this too, that I don't care. I like snow. Keep the snow coming. It doesn't matter. Just keep it coming. Until April, I can deal with it. I like snow. I like winter, and wintertime should have snow. But even I was a bit a bit surprised by what happened today. I think everybody was sort of not expecting this kind of fierce storm this late in the game. But we are being socked with, they say on the radio, the real radio, the commercial radio people. Mm-hmm. I say that with sarcasm, don't worry. That we have blizzard-like conditions out there. Blizzard-like condition. What's a blizzard-like condition? It's a blizzard. It's a blizzard. There's a wind gust of 60 miles an hour, and it's snowing. What more do you need? That's a blizzard, okay? We're having blizzards out there. And let me tell you, I have never seen... Well, maybe I have, but not this year anyway. I have not seen these kind of traffic conditions. It is horrible. It is really, really bad. Translated for me, that means a lot of fun, but for most people out there, you'll have a miserable time just driving onto campus. I decided I'd do it the easy way, not take any of the roads with hills in them, because I was in Port Jefferson earlier today and nobody could get out of town. Everybody was stuck in Port Jefferson Village. Route 25A heading east was just one big parking lot. Everybody was just kind of stuck on the hill. Big trucks and cars and SUVs, they're all just spinning around. Nobody was moving. So I figured I'd take the divided highway to get here. And, that wasn't so bad. I was heading west, and everybody coming home from work was heading east. And it was just another parking lot. Nobody was moving. And then I made the turn onto Nichols Road to come to campus. And guess what? Everybody was parked heading south on Nichols Road, leaving the campus. And then when I got onto campus, the same thing. The whole road all the way to this building was jam-packed full of cars, people just sitting there, waiting to leave, waiting to get onto the divided highway where they could also sit. So if you're thinking of going in a direction that everybody else is going, maybe it would be best not to do that for a little while. And translate that to whatever part of life you'd like. It's probably never a good idea to go with the mainstream, because you'll just wind up getting stuck in traffic. Yeah, it works that way. I was able to breeze right in, but everybody else, they're probably still sitting there. I'm not gloating or anything like that, but it does feel kind of cool. But yeah, in cases of bad weather like this, unless you really know what you're doing and you really have to get someplace, it's probably best to just kind of hang out and do whatever it is you're doing for a little while longer until conditions subside a little bit. So winter is still here in lower New York State, which is great. It really is. This is one of the best winters ever. Probably will never happen again, but what are you going to do? Okay, a lot of disturbing developments. We should really rename the show Disturbing Developments, because that's all we ever seem to talk about is disturbing developments. But we have a lot tonight. A lot tonight, both on the international level, on the national level, even on the very local level. So let's try to pack it all in. How about this? A George Rogers Clark High School Jr. Where is that? That's a darn good question. Did I even bother to write down where this took place? Does it really matter? Okay. No, I guess not, because, well, okay, I know now. It's Lexington, Kentucky. That's where it is. A George Rogers Clark high school junior arrested last Tuesday, for making terrorist threats has said that writings that got him arrested are being taken out of context. What kind of writings, you may ask? Well, William Poole, 18 years old, was taken into custody after investigators discovered materials at his home that outlined possible acts of violence aimed at students, teachers, and police. Poole said the whole incident is a big misunderstanding. He claims what his grandparents found in his journal. Yes, his grandparents were rummaging through his journal. They found a short story he wrote for English class. My story is based on fiction, he said. It's a fake story. I made it up. I've been working on one of my short stories, and the short story they found was about zombies. Zombies! Yes, it did say a high school. It was about a high school overran by zombies. Overran by bad grammar, too, but, yeah, grandparents find a story about zombies, and the police are called. He's now facing a second-degree felony terrorist-threatening charge. Oh, you think I'm making this up? You think I'm just pulling this out of... No, this is real. This is real. This is going on right now. And even after being faced with this explanation, police say the nature of the story makes it a felony. Winchester Police Detective Stephen Caudill said, anytime you make any threat or possess matter involving a school or function, it's a felony in the state of Kentucky. You want to run that one by again? Okay. Anytime you make any threat or possess matter involving a school or function, it's a felony in the state of Kentucky. This guy obviously went to the same school that the kid went to, because he's not making any sense. Possess matter involving a school? What does that mean? What in God's name does that mean? Anyway, Poole disputes that he was threatening anyone. And this is a quote from him. It didn't mention nobody who lives in Clark County. Didn't mention George Rogers Clark High School. Didn't mention no principal or cops. Nothing. Half the people at high school know me. They know I'm not that stupid, that crazy. In response on Thursday, a judge raised his bond from $1,000 to $5,000 after prosecutors requested it, citing the seriousness of the charge. Last we heard, he was being held at the Clark County Detention Center. Yes, this is your world as of today. And how about this? The Bush administration's secret program to transfer suspected terrorists to foreign countries for interrogation has been carried out by the CIA under broad authority that has allowed it to act without case-by-case approval from the White House or the state or justice departments. The headline of the story that ran in the New York Times was "Rule Change Lets CIA Freely Send Suspects Abroad to Jails." Yes, that's right. In fact, the CIA plane has been spotted in many countries around the world, and people on the internet have been able to share sightings because of the identification markings on the airplane. I understand now they're moving to have those numbers erased, you know, make it no longer a requirement that the CIA has to have these numbers. But basically what is happening here, and this is the short version of it. You can have all kinds of philosophical discussions as to why they're doing this. But basically, they're taking suspects out of the country so they can torture them in other countries, where torture isn't so much of a bad thing. It's true. I mean, this is really what's going on. Now, we can further debate, well, what kind of people are they? Are these really American citizens? Well, sometimes they are, yes. Sometimes there are people who were born in another country, became citizens of this country, and then are sent back to that country to be tortured because they're suspected of something. And are they always found guilty? No. Lots of times, they just get released. Like the people in Guantanamo Bay. Yes, they are torturing people in Guantanamo Bay as well. They are torturing people in Iraq. They're torturing people in Afghanistan. Or should I say, we are, because we elect the people that do these things or approve these things. It's all true. Not making this up. And, you know, one of the other interesting things about all this is that there's a huge rift going on between the Central Intelligence Agency and the Bush administration, where the CIA basically is under a lot of threat, it seems, by Bush and his cronies. He had Donald Rumsfeld basically running his own CIA out of the State Department, and it's really turning into a very bizarre situation. And one of the theories being passed around is that the reason why this story is surfacing now is because of a leak by the Bush administration in order to discredit the CIA even further. You know, blaming them for all kinds of intelligence lapses and things like that. Imagine that, Bush blaming anything or anybody for an intelligence lapse, but it's true. So you have to keep an eye on the news to see all the latest craziness that's going on out there. And boy, there's a lot. If you know of any, you can write to us, OTW at 2600.com. OTW stands for Off the Wall. Now, there's other happenings, other news that I think is of more relevance to this particular program in general. And this basically revolves around that dreaded three-letter organization known as the FCC, where basically, due to all kinds of vague utterings and clampdowns, an outrage by certain right-wingers and religious zealots about the distant sighting of what could be somebody's breast during Super Bowl halftime, we've had to deal with a lot of garbage. We've had to deal with all kinds of possible side effects and attacks as a result of this this backlash. Let me tell you how it works, okay? The people in the commercial business, the commercial radio people, and even commercial television, although not nearly so much. Basically, the commercial radio people act completely irresponsibly and do stupid things. And they wind up getting people angry. They wind up getting the attention of the FCC. They wind up getting fined for incredibly stupid and callous, tasteless things that go on. You know, things like the tsunami song on Hot 97. You know, Hot 97 also had a shootout last week? I just heard about this. Apparently, there were some rap people there, and they had a shootout from the studios. I mean, you know, these are the guys that... do you really think they should be running a radio station? You know, they basically... They have hooligans running around with guns, and and they don't seem to really care about humanity in any sense. And plus, it's bad radio, but never mind that. Thing is, these are the guys that are doing the stupid things. Where the people at stations like this, and particularly a station like this, wind up doing interesting things, creative things, playing new music, interviewing alternative people, whatever that means, and just basically educating, which is what we're supposed to be doing below the dial here at 92. But the effect of all of this, the effect of all these regulations and vague threats and uncertainty is that we're stifled. Because we can't afford to pay the fines. Because we don't own the license. The state university does. And as a result, we have to be the ones to be extra careful. Meanwhile, the idiots out there on commercial radio continue to do stupid things. And I've got a bunch of great examples. But first, I want to play something. I want to play something that we just posted the episodes of Brain Damage, the radio show we used to do back in the late 80s, early 90s here on this station. And I got to tell you, you know, the mood back then, even though we still had to deal with the FCC, the mood back then just was so much more open and creative. And I just see the walls closing in. Basically, what you're about to hear now is something that I'm told we can no longer do. Yeah, it's true. Not because of any complaints against us, because of fear. Fear of what could happen. And that's the worst kind of thing. That's self-censorship. That's the what-if scenarios. That's basically doing the work of your enemies for you. I can't say as I see there's much of a choice because, as I said, we're not the people in charge. We're not the people who own the place or hold the license or anything like that. So if somebody upstairs is paranoid, well, it's not up to us to defy that. But we can still educate people as to what the threats are and what's going on out there. So here's something that we used to do back on Brain Damage. A little feature known as Confuse the Operator. One of the most popular features that I've ever been involved with. Used to get all kinds of people suggesting that we do various things. Everybody had a good time. Nobody was abused. Nobody was made fun of. Imagine this on commercial radio. Just couldn't happen there. But basically, this is a call to an operator with a very simple question. And yes, the title is Confuse the Operator, but by no means is it Annoy the Operator. Let's listen.
Yes, it's time once again to reach out over the phone wires, over the fiber optic cables, through the receivers and the transmitters and the pulse machines and all that kind of neat stuff. And find the poor unsuspecting operator and confuse the unsuspecting operator here on Brain Damage. And you know, this is something I've always wanted to do. And I'll bet you have too. Okay, everybody stay quiet here. Operator's coming on. He's about to pick up the phone. No laughing, no giggling. It's very important here. It's going to be great. Here she is. Yes, hi. Operator, I've got a problem. I was driving home to where I am right now, actually, and I was at a payphone.
Yeah.
And when I went to make my telephone call on the payphone, a quarter came out. Now, the quarter was not mine. Actually, to be honest, there are two quarters. I'd like to know, what am I supposed to do with those two quarters? Is there a place I can send them to?
No. Just keep.
Yeah, but they don't belong to me. They obviously are. They belong to the phone company, don't they?
Not if they came back to you. That means whoever placed the call hung up the phone and didn't wait for their money to come back.
Are you sure? I mean, what if it... I mean, I don't want to do anything that would hurt the phone company.
Believe me, you're not doing anything.
I can't believe I said
them.
That. Okay, all right, so it's all right to keep it. I mean, it's not mine. It belongs to the other person. Is there a way to figure out who that person was?
No.
Really?
If they made a phone call and they're at the phone booth...
Uh-huh.
They decided that they didn't want to wait for the money to return. That's lost money.
I see.
If you come behind them and the coins come back and you look in the box, that's your money.
Okay. I have one other thing I want to ask, and this is a bit more difficult. There was a time about a week ago where I made a phone call, and I went into overtime, and I hung up and the phone rang. Now, was that the phone company, maybe?
Well, usually sometimes they ring you back. It depends on which phone company it is, because there's several out there.
Yeah. No, it was a New York telephone, or a 9X payphone.
Okay. Well, usually we don't ring you back.
Uh-huh. You don't ring back?
Used to. We don't do that anymore.
Okay, probably because a lot of people did what I did and just kept walking.
Uh-huh.
All right, cause I was just wondering, because I'd like to clear my conscience, you know, if there's anything I can do.
Lost money. You found it. That's your 50 cents.
Okay, so I can... All right, this is great. I feel much better now. You've made me feel very good.
Oh.
All right, well, thanks again. Have a nice night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, doesn't that feel good? All right, we didn't really confuse her, but... Well, maybe we did. I mean, she must have never gotten a call like that before. But think of it. You find money in a payphone, you've always sort of wondered if it's okay to take it. This operator gives you her blessing. I was thinking of asking, well, I just put an M80 in a payphone, and I blew it up, and I took all the money. Do you want that back? Well, maybe next week.
And that was something we aired back in 1993 here on this radio station. Let me read you what the FCC rule in question is. And this is actually something that came up on this program a couple of weeks ago. And this is in no way related to that question by a listener as to whether or not people have to be notified before you talk to them on the radio. Here's the rule. Before recording a telephone conversation for broadcast or broadcasting such a conversation simultaneously with its occurrence, a licensee shall inform any party to the call of the licensee's intention to broadcast the conversation, except where such party is aware or may be presumed to be aware from the circumstances of the conversation that it is being or likely will be broadcast. Such awareness is presumed to exist only when the other party to the call is associated with the station, such as an employee or part-time reporter, or where the other party originates the call and it is obvious that it is in connection with a program in which the station customarily broadcasts telephone conversations. That is 47 CFR, section 73.1206. That's a statute that was made back in 1970. And it's been my understanding and the understanding of most of the people that I know in the radio business that this applies when you are interviewing somebody, when you're calling somebody, when you're identifying them by name. It doesn't apply to every single possible person that you talk to on the air. It doesn't apply to random operators in various parts of the world. It doesn't apply to somebody at a company someplace who you're never going to know the location or identity of. Because if it did, what you would have to do would be call this person in advance, because you can't ask them on the air if they want to be on the air. You have to call them beforehand and ask them if they want to be on the air. And then afterwards, once they give the approval, which they probably wouldn't, because you'd make them think about, oh my God, I'm going to be on the radio, and they would act differently and all that kind of thing. Once you got that permission, then you'd have to somehow make sure you got them again. So how in God's name would I ever be able to get the same operator twice in a row? Or do you honestly think an operator would hold on while I ran back to the phone, because I'd have to do this in another room before the show or something? The whole thing is just so ridiculously silly. This was never an issue, but now because of FCC crackdowns, and let me read you a couple of the crackdowns, we have to be all paranoid and crazy. We can't even take phone calls anymore. That's right, we can't take phone calls because we do not have a working delay system. And without a working delay system, it's possible somebody might say something. In the past, if you cut them off, that's considered to be enough. But now we have to worry because Congress has gone nuts with the fines. They want to fine $500,000 per incident. So somebody says one random four-letter word, $500,000. I can understand why people are paranoid. But basically, it cripples this radio show and hurts the radio station in so many different ways. And I honestly cannot see much of a future here with these kinds of restrictions. This radio station has been a place where I've learned to be creative. I've learned to do all kinds of fun things. And I dare say that in all the times I've done that, it hasn't been with the intention of offending, of belittling, harassing any of the commercial radio business that goes on. We don't do that here. But yet, we're the ones that have to pay for their stupidity, because it's just not being made clear that, yes, you know, it's intended for the obvious stated purpose. When you speak in vague languages, it's not so obvious. Listen to this case. An employee of a company whose stations actually broadcast the offending material is the complainant here. The phone conversation was apparently an on-air joke performed by a radio host on an account executive for Hispanic Broadcasting Corporation, which actually was the parent company of the station licensee, Univision Radio License Corporation, at the time. The host called the executive's cell phone and pretended to be another man who had met the executive at a bar. After a flirtatious conversation, the host revealed the joke to the executive on the air. I mean, come on, that's common sense. You call somebody on their cell phone, you identify them by name, you have a flirtatious conversation with them, and then you tell them, well, by the way, that was on the air, and you don't expect them to get upset? Of course they're going to get upset, rightfully so. And that's what this statute is meant to protect, people like that. That's so obviously a bad thing. And in that regard, I understand completely the statute. But it does not apply to something like this.
632-6901 is our telephone. Oh. Sorry, a dramatic theme has crept up on me. And this is a theme I haven't heard in months. This is the theme for one of the more exciting parts of the show, where we ask dramatic questions and find out dramatic half-truths. Specifically and emphatically, a question that affects many people here at the State University of New York at Stony Brook from day to day. The question being, what's for lunch?
Good morning. Today, Friday, September 20th, at all cafeterias for lunch, New England clam chowder, broiled fish chamondine, cheese ravioli. Dinner is beef fajitas, roast turkey, and fettuccine alfredo. Roth Cafeteria, thank God it's open.
Yes, thank God.
Have a nice
Praise
day. Thanks again for calling the FSA hotline.
All right. Thank God it's open. Yes, lunchtime is back here at Stony Brook. And people are happy. And there was much rejoicing. And that came to us from, I believe, 1991. No, you can't do that either under strict interpretation of this rule. If you call somebody's voicemail message, it's the same thing as having a conversation with them. So you got to get permission first. You have to make sure that it's okay to broadcast their voice over the radio. Now, I remember back when we used to do this, we used to call the lunch line all the time on this radio station, and it was so much fun. In fact, the lunch lady even found out about it, and she thought it was great. But in this litigious society of ours, where we have to worry about being sued for looking at somebody crooked, yeah, now we're going to have to worry about, oh, my God, you know, is this person's voice, it's on the air now? Maybe they didn't want their voice on the air, even though it's a public announcement. You know, we can't even call the phone mail lady, because if we call the phone mail lady, maybe the people at Rome will get upset. Maybe the phone mail lady herself will find out about it and say, my voice wasn't supposed to go over the radio. Maybe even if we put a dial tone on the air, the people who designed the dial tone will get offended. There's no end to this. There's absolutely no end once you start worrying and second-guessing and things like that. It's really somewhat pathetic. Here's something else that was another example of commercial radio stupidity. These guys actually called Fidel Castro. Yeah, they managed to reach him somehow. And I don't know what they said. It was broadcast in Spanish, so I didn't hear this myself. But this is from the FCC's, I guess, rebuttal to this radio station's defense. We find no merit in WXDJ's claim that it was somehow exempt from complying with the telephone broadcast rules because the recipients of the phone calls reside in Cuba, a country in which the United States maintains no diplomatic relations and to which travel by U.S. citizens is restricted. It is the specific conduct of the licensee that Section 73.1206 of the Commission's rules seeks to prescribe, and we find nothing in the rule that excuses the prohibited conduct on the basis of the recipient's residence or their political status. The rule is designed to promote disclosure by licensees before a conversation is recorded and or broadcast, and to curb behavior that would result in a recipient of a call being embarrassed or surprised by a licensee. Okay, you know, I think that's it right there, in the FCC's own words. To curb behavior that would result in a recipient of a call being embarrassed or surprised by a licensee. Now, we don't do that kind of thing here, or we didn't do that kind of thing here. Nobody was embarrassed or humiliated or meant to feel bad in any way. Yes, we'd ask occasional questions.
Oh, dear, it's 1:34. You know what that means.
Okay, we have another feature which sort of crept up on us. This is something else. I'm sorry, I just feel like getting this out of my system, and these are some interesting little tidbits from the past, and also they kind of demonstrate what it is that we've been doing here in this radio station over the years. This is an example of the Confuse the Operator sketch, I guess, where we ask a question, and we try to see sort of in the sense of the current series, Corporate Intelligence, which I guess we also can't do anymore, where we ask employees a fact about their company, such as who Barnes is and Barnes & Noble, what 7-Eleven means, what CVS stands for, all kinds of things. We've gotten a lot of suggestions, a lot of support for it. Some criticism too, but mostly support now. A lot of people have written in saying, "Yeah, this is amazing. We have to ask people these questions." Well, I'm sorry. We have to be careful, not offend anybody, and God forbid. But this is something where we asked operators a simple fact about the phone network, namely what the country code for the United States is. And I'll bet a lot of people don't know that.
That means it's time. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. I don't really know what it is you think it's time for, but it's time to play Confuse the Operator. And I can tell by the disappointed looks on the faces of the crowd that that was not what they thought it was time for. Confuse the Operator is a production of Brain Damage, where we reach out and try and confuse an operator. Usually it doesn't take very long because operators are generally confused when they pick up the phone in the first place. So all we have to do pretty much is say a few words to them and then we can all continue with the program. Tonight we're going to do something that we've done before, but it's so much fun. It's almost like a traditional kind of a thing. You know, and I figure since it was Thanksgiving this week, we'll do something traditional. And the way that you confuse an operator the quickest is to ask something from the perspective of someone who doesn't live here. Now, what exactly do we mean by that? Okay. Every country in the world has what is known as a country code. That's where you call up a country overseas. You simply put a country code in there. That way you're able to make your phone call. For instance, if you call England, you have to use country code 44. If you call France, you use country code 33, etc. Holland 31, and there's all kinds of other ones. Now, the question that we are going to ask our poor unsuspecting operator is, what is the country code for the United States? Now, there's no reason why we would ever know this, because we don't ever make international calls to the United States. But other people do, and we need to be able to tell them something. Now, since most of us live in this country and we're completely oblivious to what's going on in the rest of the world, well, we just never think of things like this. The United States is everything, and there's no reason to be concerned with how other people might view us. So, let us see if we're able to find an operator that can help us out here and get us the information that we need. It's not going to happen, at least not right away. First thing, we'll get a local operator, and they'll transfer us to a long-distance operator, and they'll be able to help us out here. Although, judging by the silence on the line... Ah, here we go.
New York telephone.
I think we confused the computer there. I'd say this is international information.
Chris, may help you?
Yes, hello. I need international information, please.
Shirley.
Call me Shirley.
One moment for a long-distance operator who can assist you.
All right, let's see where we wind up here. We should get AT&T. Or we might get something.
AT&T.
Ah.
Roslyn, how may I help you?
Hi, I need a country code. I was hoping you'd be able to help me.
Where?
I need the country code for the United States. The country code is 1.
It depends on where you're calling in the United States. For instance, if you're international and you want to call Long Island, you would use the country code 516. If you want to call California, you would use 818 or whichever. What they refer to as country code, we refer to as area code.
I see. So 516 is the country code for Long Island.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's totally wrong, though, because the country code for the United States is 1. That is the country code for the United States. 1. 516 remains the area code, or, as is the case with other countries, the city code. So, for instance, if you were calling from overseas, lots of times you would dial something like 00 to get an overseas connection instead of 011. You would follow that with 1 and then the phone number, 1516, etc., etc. Let's see if we can find somebody else that might be able to get the right answer. 516 is a country code. I've heard it all now. We didn't actually confuse her. We just got her to say something that was completely wrong. Sure is taking a long time to get a connection tonight, isn't it? Must be the weather, that's it.
New York telephone.
Here we go. That's a ring that means business. Two rings. You must be very busy tonight. Actually, all radio stations. Yes, I need international information, please.
National information?
International.
International, you mean?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Overseas.
One moment for a long-distance operator who can assist you.
I'm told all radio stations play Confuse the Operator around this time of night, so that's why they're so busy.
AT&T, Miss C. How may I help you?
It's Miss C. Yes, hi. I need to know a country code. I was hoping you'd be able to help me with that.
Yeah, where? What country?
Well, it's kind of confusing because it's this country. I need to know what the country code for the United States is.
For the United States?
Yes.
Sure, hold on one second.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sounds like she's actually going to try, at least. That's always heartening to hear an operator that is willing to try. Will she succeed? That's the question. It's the sound of an AT&T operator trying.
The U.S. is one.
The U.S. is one.
Right.
Okay. Thank you very much. That's very helpful.
You're welcome now.
Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
And the operator got it right, and this edition of Confuse the Operator has now concluded. Just goes to show, if you don't get the right answer the first time, try again.
Oh, yes. Memories that brings back that Confuse the Operator bit from the early 90s here on this very radio station. And, you know, you have to ask yourself, listening to that, was anybody offended? Was anybody hurt? No, of course not. We asked a simple question. We learned a lot. It's a time capsule. Listen to it now. You hear things that you do not hear anymore. You hear New York telephone. You hear switching that simply doesn't exist anymore. And the way the whole system works, the way an answer is retrieved. And sometimes misinformation is given. But even when the misinformation is given, you move on and you find somebody who does know the answer. But you also demonstrate at the same time that, yes, even they don't know the answers to these very basic questions. But we were never doing it in a spirit of mocking, making fun. Nobody ever felt bad after talking to one of us in the Confuse the Operator bits. I see the phones are ringing, but you know, we can't take phone calls, because if we take phone calls, who knows what might happen till we get an expensive delay system installed here at this radio station. It's insane. It's insane. We're living in a very paranoid state of mind, and it's unfortunate. It really is. You can write to us, otw@2600.com. I'd like to hear your viewpoints. Maybe I've got it completely wrong. Maybe what you just heard is horrendous, and I should be drawn and quartered for daring to contact these people without first getting written authorization and forms signed in triplicate. All the spontaneity is being sucked right out of non-commercial radio. Here's something we did on this very radio program, and boy, this is something that, with the current thinking, is completely impossible. You can call us, 631-632-9872. We'll take phone calls in just a little bit. Actually, you know, I was meaning to do this. Let me do it now. All right. Okay, we get our dial tone? Good.
White House?
Yes, hi, this is the White House.
Yes, sir.
I'm interested in submitting my opinion on the whole Donald Rumsfeld thing. Who would I call to do that?
You would call the President's Comments and Message Line. However, it is closed for the evening.
Oh, dear.
I want to call back tomorrow between 9 and 5 Eastern Time.
And what number is that?
202
456
1111.
1111.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'll call that then. Thank you.
Okay.
But you know what? I'm going to call it now anyway. Not that I like disobeying the White House. I just want to see what happens if I call it. Oh, I hope I don't get her. Oh, she'll be mad if I do.
Thank you for calling the White House comment line. The office is now closed. Your comment is very important to the president, so please call again.
Is that Condoleezza Rice?
Of 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. Our direct telephone number is 202-456-1111. Again, that's 202-456-1111. Thank you.
Are we going to get transferred? No, we got hung up on immediately. Oh, well. Okay, so if you have an opinion, you can only have it during business hours. And, of course, those of you overseas, you'll have to adjust your clocks. But I guess that means that you'll get a human. You'll get a human being. So when the human being picks up, you can say, I think that this is what should happen to Donald Rumsfeld. And this is how long it should take for it to happen. And, you know, things like that. As much detail as you possibly can express. Without using obscenities, obviously. Because they're only humans on the other side of the phone.
Yes, that's right. They are only humans. that was something we did, I guess about a year ago when the whole torture thing began. And wanted to find out how to leave feedback. Now, calling the White House. If I was to call the White House and say, well, first I'd have to call them off air and say I'm calling from a radio station. Do you think they'd act the same way as when you call them directly? No, of course not. They'd probably give you a completely different number to call. The whole point, and we've been doing this for years, many, many years on different radio stations even. The point of calling the White House live on the air is to simply demonstrate to people what happens when you call the White House. A lot of people are afraid to. A lot of people are afraid to call the White House and leave an opinion. Well, if we call the White House live on the air and leave an opinion, and they tell us to go get stuffed or something like that, is that not worthy of being broadcast, of being known? And if they're very friendly and they tell you exactly what to do, is that not worthy of being known? Is there honestly anybody at the White House who would be upset by having such a conversation broadcast? Of course not. You'd have to be insane. But it's theoretically possible. So we can't do it. Nor can we do things like, oh, this one's going to bring back tears. Who can remember the screaming operator of Bhutan? Well, a fair number of people do. Under the current way of thinking, we never would have met the screaming operator of Bhutan, who we talked to several times during the course of Brain Damage. Let's listen.
It's time to play another exciting and, yes, controversial game of Confuse the Operator. And as mentioned, we will be going out to a remote country in a remote part of the world. First, to do that, we must get a remote long-distance company.
Hello?
Yes, can I have AT&T, please?
One moment for an operator who can assist you. Thank you.
This is AT&T.
Yes, are you open right now?
Yeah, who are you speaking to? Because you've got the AT&T operator.
Oh, I just wanted to make sure you were open. Yes, I need to make an overseas call to information directory assistance in the country of Bhutan.
Hold on, please.
Thank you. I see, I heard a rumor that AT&T wasn't open 24 hours anymore. It's just a rumor. I mean, I didn't want to embarrass her by asking her something she couldn't possibly do. Most people can't spell Bhutan, so I would be most amazed if she's actually able to spell it without any help. Nobody in the studio can spell it. Sound of a busy AT&T control room at work. The sound of a keyboard being tapped. The sound of a backspace key, apparently. Oh, wow.
That sounds like a ring. Sounds like an underwater ring. I love that ring. We've got something.
Hello, this is the United States. We need information only, please.
Yes, ma'am.
Go ahead, sir.
Hi, is this Bhutan?
Yes, sir.
Oh, jolly good. We need the number for the Exxon Oil Corporation in Bhutan, please. It's rumored that...
Yes, sir.
Yes, hello?
Boy, yes.
They certainly shot over there.
Did you help you?
We need the number for the Exxon Oil Corporation, please.
Exxon?
Yes.
It's which department?
Just the main number. Bhutan's this little tiny country. I'm trying to find a single country that doesn't have Exxon Oil in it.
Hello?
Yes.
Which department, ma'am?
We need the main number, please.
Which department?
This would be public affairs.
Huh?
First thing I thought of.
Hello?
Public relations.
You're calling Bhutan or somewhere?
Did you hear what we said? We said we need Exxon Oil. We need the main number, please.
Yeah, ma'am, but there's no such name. You're calling Bhutan over somewhere.
There's no Exxon Corporation?
No.
There's no Exxon Oil number there?
No.
Okay. Well, thanks anyway. Thank you.
I don't think so. Okay, thank you.
They certainly talk loud over there, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, thanks anyway. I guess they just don't have an office there.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Oh, wow. I don't know if I want to go there now if people talk that loudly all the time. Bhutan, yes, the country of Bhutan where either people are hard of hearing or there's a lot of commotion going on all the time. And that brings us to the end of another exciting adventure of... Confused the operator, but I'm more confused than anybody right now. I guess we found a country that doesn't have Exxon Oil. Well, that was easy. But I bet if we call most countries, we'll get a number quite easily. Our telephone number, and we're only in one country, is 632-6901, area code 516. Country code 1.
Actually, don't try calling that number because that's no longer our area code. Area code split a few years ago. But boy, that was fun. That brings back a lot of good memories. The screaming operator of Bhutan from the program Brain Damage. Incidentally, you can download all editions of Brain Damage on our website, www.2600.com/braindamage. It won't sound as good as this because, well, we have bandwidth considerations and disk space and things like that to worry about. You know, we have a full switchboard, and I can't take a single call because I don't want to incur the wrath of anybody, and I just might do that if I were to take a phone call or make a phone call. So pretty much I have to just sit here and talk. This is so frustrating. Well, like I said before, I can understand the paranoia, and I think what we need is some kind of real clarification from the authorities in the position to be able to clarify these things. I've already been in touch with somebody over at the FCC to ask them, you don't really mean this to apply to people making simple phone calls like this. And all you get back, just like, you know, with a lawyer, is a quote of the law, you know. Everyone must be notified before they're put on the air. Well, you know, we're not talking about invading somebody's privacy by calling their home here. We're talking about calling an operator to ask for a number, getting the number, moving on, you know, things like that. Things done just for fun, not to annoy people, not to embarrass people, not to harass people. if we can ever get past that stage, maybe we can actually get some clarification. After all, this is a statute that has been in existence since 1970, and there has never been a case of something that was not an act of stupidity by a commercial station that I can find anyway, where this statute ever came up. And similarly, the whole taking calls without delay should also not be an issue if you take action to prevent anything bad from going over the air. But we have to worry about these things. Congress is out of their minds with $500,000 fines, and everybody's in a state of perpetual panic. It's a very sad state of affairs. Well, anyway, you're listening to Off the Wall here on radio station WUSB in Stony Brook, and also rebroadcast on Saturday nights on WBCQ, shortwave 7415. And we have a sort of blizzard outside. I think it really is a blizzard. And people are advised not to drive in blizzards, as that's also common sense. But I figure maybe we should just underline that, in case somebody wants to sue us for not telling them. It's going to be very icy and slippery and stupid to drive in, so don't. All right, time for me to drive home. This has been Off the Wall. Can't say for sure how much longer we can continue doing this with all these restrictions and strict interpretations and things like that. But as always, your comments are welcome, if not on the phone, by email, otw@2600.com. That's 2600.com. We'll be back again next week. Hopefully able to do something. We'll come up with ideas, and with your help, I'm sure we'll get through these dark days. Have a good night.
Bye. Dios por ti, no tengo por qué tener miedo. Mis palabras son balas, balas de paz, balas de justicia. Soy la voz de los que hicieron callar sin razón, por un solo hecho de fe.